When you're sick, you call a doctor. When your pipe's breaking, you call a plumber. And when you're ready to win,
you keep it right here.
For sports gaming strategies and information, experts.
It's a thing.
The home of the winning edge. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The Pips, the players, the hustlers, the puckheads, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down with George Kurtz. Rick Saratella will join us here. SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation. We'll re-welcome our AM radio affiliates in a couple of moments' time. So, George, we call our Sunday night edition of the show Sunday Bloody Sunday, and it really was Sunday Bloody Sunday, both in Philadelphia and in Vancouver. Both head coaches let go, Alain Vigneault and Travis Green, respectively. And I don't know if you saw the video that I retweeted today or you saw the video out there. You can't make this up, guys. So the Philadelphia Flyers, they're having a crap run right now. Crap-ass run. They fire the coach. They fire everybody, the assistant coach and everything. And today a dog, you see the bomb-sniffing dogs in the arena, took a dump on the logo, George. Did you see that video?
I did. I don't know if it was from you, but yeah, I did see the video.
The whole thing is, at least teams take their logo seriously and stuff, right? It's just funny, like, of all places on the ice. Like, right on the Flyer logo, right in the middle.
You gotta go, man. What are you gonna do?
I've gotta get the audio here, because I'm seeing the replay here, George, of the post-game press conference, and the Bill players really, I guess somebody said was an embarrassing losing
embarrassing,
over the team.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It seemed to get pretty heated, actually, after. I got to hear what.
You don't say things that as a reporter. You don't, you know, that kind of question. Are you upset about how you played against the run? That's fine. You don't use the word embarrassed. I think that's more on the reporter than the players.
It really is. And you know, I brought it up, George. I'm going to be getting into it with someone in our chat, our boy Jazz. All right, so here it is. It's been over 40 years here since a team has won a game, throwing a few times in a game. Is that embarrassing? Hyde says, it's all about respect. I come here every week and answer your questions. Don't do that. He walks out.
I mean, I probably wouldn't handle it that way either. If I'm Hyde, you answer the question. He goes, you can't win a battle with the media. But I would have asked it that question that way. How do you feel about the fact, you know, something, how do you think it's been 40 years since that happened? That's fine, but you don't use the word embarrassed. Players are, he might be embarrassed, but, you know, they gave the effort. It didn't work out. It wasn't like they didn't try. It wasn't like
Well, that's the thing. They're not happy they lost. I said that earlier, too. It's not like they're happy they lost, right? They don't want to win. Like, especially, too, look, George, they gave up 222 rush yards, okay? Dude, there was a 64-yard run and a 16-yard run. That's 82 yards. After that, you take away, they stuffed it over and over. And another thing is, it's not like an instance. I know as a Bills fan, guys, because it actually reminded me. I was thinking of it earlier. And, dude, if you look at the time of possession, George, it was 32-28, bro. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like it was like, oh, yeah, they had the ball forever and they gassed everyone. No. That's what they did on offense, and they ended up scoring 14 points. All right, and it's as simple as that. If you're the Bills' offense, you need to do better. You had the ball for 27 and a half minutes, and you scored, you know, what'd you do? You scored 10 points. I mean, in the Super Bowl, when the Giants beat the Super Bowl in the missed field goal, people blame Norwood. The Giants had the ball for 41 minutes. George Kurtz kicking it with us just for a couple of more moments. Man, crazy stuff going on. NFL football, college football playoffs. I want to get to a little college football playoffs a little bit later on. The NHL season is rolling on right now, George, and the Olympics are around the corner. Ooh, I'm sure that Chairman Xi, or whatever his name is losing sleep that Joe Biden diplomatically is boycotting the Olympics. But, you know, nevertheless. What do you think about NHL players? Are they going to end up playing when it's all said and done? Because this thing starts pretty soon, bro. Right? The Olympics start, I think it's February 9th, like the first hockey game type thing. Like, it's not that far away. What do you think is going to happen?
The NHL has until January 10th without financial penalty to announce that the players are going yes or no. I thought what Robin Leonard came out today, is going to be very interesting. Because Leonard said he will not play for Team Sweden because he doesn't think going to China, and if he gets COVID, they can't leave for 3 weeks. He doesn't think that'd be very good for his mental health. Now, we know Leonard has issues with his mental health in the past, so maybe that makes sense for him. But, you know,
that's a problem, isn't it, that they can't leave for, like, basically, that's the type of thing.
For 3 weeks?
No. That's the type of thing where they have to accept. Listen, we totally get it. If someone of our players gets COVID, we put them on a plane and we send them back to Canada, United States. You know what I mean? And you have a private plane, you stick them, whatever, dude. It's not the end of the world. Trump drove around in a freaking limo with people with COVID. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. But that's a good point, George. They're not safe for threes. That's the whole thing. How bad is this Omicron thing? And at what point the players... Listen, Robert Leonard doesn't surprise me. There was another player that I guess said, oh, he's not going to play. He turned it down an offer. But for the most part, like, no one on Canada has said no, I'll tell you that. Right? And in fact, so I was reading about this because I was wondering, so what are they going to do? They've already shut the league down for 3 weeks. Right? So it turns out the NHL made a shadow schedule that if they don't play, if they don't go to the Olympics, they don't have to shut it down for 3 weeks. They shut it down for a week. But there's already players bitching about this saying, well, tough, because we already told us we have 3 weeks off. So, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on behind the scenes. I think they end up going and they pray they don't get COVID there. Otherwise, you're staying in the Beijing Hilton for 3 weeks. Thanks, George.
Anytime. Not the room service I want.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Monday Night Meltdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pimps, the Players, the Hustlers, the Rick Saratellas, and everybody else in between. Time to get biblical. NFL Draft Bible. Is it the draft already? Yeah, it's around the corner. Let's talk NFL football. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, SI.com. Always a pleasure, Rick. How you doing tonight?
Gabe, what's happening, man? Melting it down, waxing it up, ready to roll, brother.
Hey, listen, it's Michigan's world. We're just living in it. As my Michigan Wolverines roll in to the college football playoffs, and the Detroit Lions win their first football game. Good for the Lions. These guys have been playing their hearts out all year. They've been falling short, but they've been covering numbers. They're 8-4 against the spread. Yet, I wanted to talk about Aiden Hutchinson of the Michigan Wolverines. And Aiden Hutchinson, of course, has had a dominant season. He's really stepped up in the last couple of big games. Another great performance against a very good Iowa Hawkeye offensive line. Kayvon Thibodeau and the Ducks got pushed around by the Utes. And I am starting to see Aiden Hutchinson listed number one on a lot of mock drafts right now. Do you agree with that assessment? As of right now, is Aiden Hutchinson the number one pick in the draft?
Boy, it's a tough one, right? Thibodeau, Hutchinson, you could go either way.
And I wanted to ask you too, actually, to the second leg of this.
Yeah.
It's trickier. Not only does he play for the Michigan Wolverines, his father played for the Michigan Wolverines. He's from Plymouth, Michigan.
Yeah.
So you have a local sort of legend in the making now that right. plays a position that your team needs help at, right? So that's just it is even more fascinating. And I'm not taking anything away from Thibodeau either.
Well, no, I think it adds another layer to the conversation, right? Because it does come into play when you have two players that evenly matched, and Thibodeau is just, he's been playing grown man football since a true freshman, right? Like, he's going to come in, he's got the highest floor of any player in this draft. You know you're getting a quality guy. Now you just wonder, does Hutchinson have the higher upside because he's come on like gangbusters late in the stretch? Not only that, his biggest games have come against top competition. All his big games, they say big-time players come up in big-time moments, in big-time games. That's all Aiden Hutchinson does. So now you factor in the equation. Hey, you're going to sell season tickets. You're going to sell the merchandise. You're going to sell the jerseys, the memorabilia, everything that comes along with selecting Aiden Hutchinson. Wow, that's going to be a
fascinating. Well, he's the type of player, Rick, that they talk about the culture they want there, right? Rick Spielman. Like, that's the culture that they want.
Bite your kneecaps off type of player. Yes, absolutely. And I think he fits the DNA. He fits the fan base. He's from the area. It makes a lot of sense. All that being said, I want Kayvon Thibodeau.
All that being said, so Rick's going up with Kayvon Thibodeau because there's one thing in sport that you can't. There's a couple of things. Of course, the Buddy Ryan line was the best when he didn't go for it with the Philadelphia Eagles once. And they said, Buddy, the crowd was freaking out. They really wanted you to go for it. He said, listen to the fans and you'll end up sitting next to them as a head coach. But you can't draft local, right? Like, you know what I mean, Rick? You don't draft local. You don't, because basically in the NFL, guys, you're already selling tickets. Like, what team isn't selling tickets? Like the Jags, okay. You know what I mean? Some teams will sort of go local sometimes in some sports, but when they do it, it's a PR move. It's like, wow, we're trying to sell tickets and we're terrible and people will come because they like this guy. You don't really have to do that. But just solely from a football perspective, you're saying you would still go with Thibodeau over Hutchinson because of the explosiveness?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, Gabe, winning heals a lot of wounds. So if you just build the best roster and construct it with the best talent, which I think Kayvon Thibodeau is, well then, hey, if you start winning ball games, guess what? 2, 3, 5 years from now, no one's even going to remember Aiden Hutchinson, okay? So you got to get it right. You got to get it tight. I go Kayvon Thibodeau, but, man, it's really getting close.
I got to tell you, man, and you know, you make a living off this stuff, but it seems to me that this draft is going to be whack, bro. Like, there's a million different opinions about everything. Like, hey, look, I'm looking at Pro Football Focus right now, okay? I'm just sort of popping around everywhere. I'm looking at Pro Football Focus right now. They've got Kenny Pickett as the top quarterback going off the board. You buy into that?
Me personally, no. But, you hear it a lot. And you hear that, one, he's trained in New Jersey in my backyard for the last 3 off seasons, so I know his football cerebral IQ is through the roof, and this guy is going to win. He's going to win all day long in the Senior Bowl interviews. He's going to win all day long at the NFL Combine interviews.
Oh, boy, here we go. Yeah, he's going to Senior Bowl champ. Yeah, here we go.
Come in with 8-inch hands, and everybody's going to say, But I'll tell you what. I mean, you could state a case if you want that pocket passer, smart decision maker that works the intermediate part of the field, Kenny Pickett's your guy. If you want a guy that can make all the throws and really has a higher ceiling, I think Carson Strong from Nevada is your guy, but he has a whole laundry list of medical issues. If you want to bet on upside and think Cam Newton coming out of Auburn, Malik Willis might be your guy. So it's really, what's your flavor of the week? Sam Howell, who I know you're a fan of. You talk about toughness. You talk about willing to stand in the pocket, take a big hit, make the play, leadership intangibles. Sam Howell might be your guy. But at the end of the day, Gabe, if I am an NFL general manager, there is no chance in hell I am selecting one of these NFL quarterbacks in the first round. Unless maybe somebody brought this to my attention. If I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picking in the back end of the first round.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, if I want to draft.
But do you agree with this, Rick?
Yeah.
That, and I'm glad you said that. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible with us. I'm glad you said that because I look at these quarterbacks in this draft, and I tell you what, I think there could be some diamonds in the rough here. But none of these guys I'm willing to say, yeah, I'm taking this guy with my 6th overall pick. I'm taking this guy with my 7th overall pick. Kenny Pickett, okay. Like I said, I don't think he's a top 5 worthy guy, but I think it's a great point that you raised. When the whole song and dance and when the ball is over, bro, right, he's going to be the debutante. And it's going to be like, wow, look at every year they bite him. But there are some intriguing guys this year, guys. So you mentioned Malik Willis. He actually went to Auburn and ended up in Liberty. Malik Willis, not the biggest guy, but an explosive player. Are you a Matt Corral guy, or do you think Matt Corral's too small at 6'1", 200?
I think Matt Corral is kind of in that Kyle Wilson mold where he can improvise, he can extend plays, he could buy time in the pocket, he has a cannon.
You combine Kyler Murray and Zach Wilson. You said Kyler Wilson?
We're looking for that kind of player.
I'd rather Kyler Murray than even those two combined. You can keep the Wilson out.
But, you know, I'll tell you one guy that I'm looking at real closely here. Keep an eye out for this Bailey Zapp from Western Kentucky. He's starting to grow on me. In fact, he's going to break B.J. Simon's Texas Tech FBS passing. I think he needs about 289 yards in the bowl game to set the single season FBS all-time passing mark. And all he did at Houston Baptist was pass for 10,000 yards. And then he comes to Western Kentucky, an FBS program, and you saw what Mike White did a couple weeks ago for the Jets coming out of Western Kentucky. This guy, Bailey Zapp, I don't think there's much separation between him and Kenny Pickett. They're going to both be at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Gabe. I don't know. You tell me what the deal is there, but I'm really starting to grow on this Bailey Zapp.
I like Matt Corral, Rick. I do. I've watched him a lot. Tough as hell, the kid. Is he a little small? Maybe. I think he's better than Baker Mayfield. I'll put it that way. He's got a better arm than Baker Mayfield. Better zip on the ball. The ball gets out quicker. He's not, you know what I mean? To me, he reads the field better. If you look at Matt Corral's numbers, guys, they are the exact same as Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. And done in a better conference, right? Done in the SEC. They did it in the Big 12, right? Where the defenses are tougher in the SEC. Like, I'm just stating. I just want to like put it that way. If you like Kyler Murray and you like Baker Mayfield, and I didn't like Baker, but Matt Corral is the same. Like Rick said, I mean, the guy's 6'1", probably 6.5 type thing. You know, can he put on some weight? I don't know if he can get any bigger, but he can make throws and he's not too small to play. The kid's got moxie. I think it's an all or nothing deal with this kid. I think Matt Corral either gets a chance and he's really freaking good, or Matt Corral just ends up as no one ever remembers Matt Corral and he's a backup forever. In the NFL. More with Rick Sarratel on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sam.
The late night anger management class continues. SiriusXM channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Network. It's a Monday night meltdown. We're breaking it down. We're getting biblical. Rick Sarratella, NFLDraftBible.com with us. And Rick, let's talk about a player that we talked a lot about coming into last year's draft, Trey Lance, who we have not seen a lot of. And you look at the San Francisco 49ers. They draft this kid third overall, yet they haven't developed him very much this year, at least as far as live game action is concerned. And Jimmy G, you know, Jimmy G's not good, right? I mean, he's not good. He can't win games for you. They just hope that he doesn't lose games for them, and he manages it, and he makes a couple of plays, and he does his thing. So I'm not blaming all of San Francisco's woes on Jimmy G. He's had problems, but... just what's your take on Trey Lance? Because to me, I mean, there's two parts of this, Rick. Yes, like the older guy in me and the sane person in me says, you know, quarterbacks used to sit for a year or two before, and it wasn't the end of the world. But, Rick, that's not the way it works anymore, bro. You get drafted, you don't play within 3 years. It means you suck, and you're out of the league, right? It's the way that – ask DeShone Kizer how this works. You know what I'm saying? Like – it's you don't have that many opportunities and a window to succeed. And I look at Shanahan, and quite frankly, I think Shanahan's scared to put Lance in because Shanahan makes a lot of money and he never wins. And I don't think he's going to get fired this year, but I guarantee you, Rick, if the Niners suck again next year, they're out of excuses, man, as far as injuries and this and that. And I think he's worried. If I play Trey Lance right now, I'm not going to make the playoffs. And I might get fired down the road here, but he's also not developing Trey Lance. What's your opinion on the quarterback situation there?
Well, first of all, we got a buddy ball reference in segment one, a DeShone Kizer reference.
Yeah, you like that? DeShone Kizer.
I do like that, actually. And
he never should have left. Should have stayed in college. But anyways, that's years ago.
Jimmy G, here's the bottom line, right? Like, they drafted Trey Lance because Jimmy G does not have the respect of the 49ers locker room. The players just see him, Nick, paddywhack.
And you can see it on the sideline. Sorry to jump in, Rick. You can see it on the sideline yesterday. It was just like, come on, man. Like, he's sitting there alone. No one's even coming over and patting him on the head anymore, bro. It's sort of like, bro, what are you doing to us?
He's lost all respect inside the locker room. And so they did have to draft a quarterback. Now, did they get the right one? I don't know. Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback.
I know. You weren't big on Trey Lance at the time, I remember.
If you remember that showcase game, I mean, he looked terrible. I mean, that did not look like a franchise quarterback to me. His passes were off. He was rusty. He was actually more effective as a runner than he was as a passer. And you talk about just the accuracy issues, the inconsistency. You said, this is a franchise signal caller? I don't know. And so I think it's telling, one, the fact that he hasn't played tells me that either A, he's not ready between the ears, or B, he hasn't picked up the playbook, or C, he just isn't ready to hop
then on. How did they get it so wrong when it comes back to Shanahan? Because remember, it was like, he's the genius. We're going to let you decide between all these quarterbacks, right?
Well, I think there's some truth to what you said, right? Because what is this, his fifth season? This will be the fourth year out of 5 years.
Only one winning year.
Yeah, 1 year they made the playoffs. And it was a good year. But most other coaches are canned. And I think that there is some credence that, hey, if I just kind of keep Trey Lance on the back burner, maybe I inject him late into the season, he flashes some things and it bides me another year. And maybe there's some logic to that. Maybe we're just not in the building and Trey Lance just isn't ready, because I know Kyle Shanahan wants any little glimmer of hope, silver lining, or a reason, excuse to start Trey Lance, and he just hasn't been able to find one.
Well, let's look at this. Kyle Shanahan, 6-10, 4-12, 13-3, 6-10.
A real offensive mastermind, huh?
Yeah, right back to 6-10. And here we are now at 6-6. And probably going to end up, what, 9-8? Yeah, I mean, let's say 9-8. Yeah, that's most likely it when we're all said and done here. If they're able to squeeze that out, if it doesn't turn into an 8-9. But so think about that, guys. He's been the coach there 5 years. He's had one winning season. They have a losing season this year. That's 5 out of 6. Dude, like you said, coaches, how many guys survived that? How many guys have survived that in the history of the NFL, to be honest?
5 out of 6 years? Wow. I don't know.
Yeah, unless like it was the old days and you were around forever. Wow, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those
Wayne
deals.
Yeah,
exactly. Listen, he's our coach. Webb Eubank, you know what I mean? Like these guys, some of these guys. Like, what do you want for the guy? You know what I mean? It's one of those deals.
I mean, you know, there was all this praise for Kyle Shanahan. He's this mastermind of
genius.
And you know, the results haven't added up. And
him and McVay, Rick, too. I put McVay in the same category, bro. Boy wonder genius. Where are the wins? Where are the wins?
Yeah,
you got to win. You got to win. Show me. Mike McCarthy has an effing ring, and you all call him a dumbass. Yet we anoint all these little young guys because they have a hot girlfriend, right? It's crazy, bro.
Yeah, speaking of which, that one that Jared Goff has, oh, my God, my on to me.
Oh, hey, I tell you what. Hey, if you're into the cougar and the mill scene too, and I mean this with all due respect, Aiden Hutchinson, but his mother's not bad either, Rick. It's one of those deals. Like, when at first glance, you're like, is that his girlfriend or his mother? Like, you know what I mean? It was one of those type of deals for a second, and I was like, I don't know. And then I was kind of like, she looks kind of young, man, but he's young, right? Because it's like, and I'm older, so she doesn't look old to me. So she doesn't look like an old lady to me. She looks, I'm like, man, she's hot. Like she's younger than I am. So I'm like, man, Aiden Hutchinson's mother's pretty hot. And I'm like, is that his girlfriend or no? You ever seen Luka Doncic's mother, the basketball player?
I don't want to
blow your mind.
But, I came on for a football segment. You got me stuttering, but you got me backtracking over here.
Because you're the one. You mentioned it first. You said Jared Goff's girlfriend. I just mentioned everyone else's after.
Well, we are in the game of evaluating talent.
Rick Serratella, an NFL draft, NFL draft Bible, would have said it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a wild draft. It's going to be defensive heavy draft. But speaking of the Rams, big game against the Cardinals this week. And, you know, it's a great time of the year now, isn't it, Rick? I love, like, unfortunately, though, we have the Bears on primetime TV again. I don't know why they do this to us this late in the season on Sunday Night Football. Like, why? Does anybody anywhere think the Bears are going to be good this late in the year? So the Sunday nighter blows Bears and Packers. But I tell you what, they had a great Monday night matchup, Buffalo and New England, and ESPN gets another one next Monday. L.A. Rams at Arizona Cardinals. It's a big-time game, man. The Cardinals already beat them down earlier this year.
That is a big-time game, and you see the separation in the NFC, right? And this
are you
is
buying into the Cardinals being the real deal?
I am, and I picked them. I got them at great odds before the season to win the NFC West. I was a big believer in bringing in J.J. Watt. A lot of people questioned that move, but I just thought from a leadership perspective, what he brings inside those locker room walls, he's showing the know-how, right? He's showing that I'm willing to put my body on the line. And, you know, they added some really key pieces in the draft. I like the young talent that they kind of mixed and matched and brought in veterans like A.J. Green. Like, this guy has just played an entire career, never been on a winning team. And then he shows up in big-time spots. And then you got under-the-radar guys. Like, they got so many weapons between Rondell Moore and Christian Hopkins. And how about James Conner? God bless. And like, Chase Edmonds is on the back burner. I mean, these guys, the Cardinals are sneaky good. I'm a believer. I think they're going to have something to say about this NFC at the end of the day.
Man, what a game. Rams and Cards. And the Rams have had a hard time. Who cares? You beat the Jags. Good for you. Right, the Rams and Matt Stafford have had a hard time against elite competition this year, and this is big time, man. This is big time.
They beat the Bucks, right?
Yeah,
Bucks one time. So
yeah, that's like they're like a college team. They have one nice win. Yeah, that was the game. Sean McVay ran off the sidelines, fist pumping, and all that type of stuff. Yeah, yeah. I got to listen.
33 screenplays that game.
I was always concerned about Matt Stafford. Like, I didn't think that he was some sort of, you know, that the savior. The savior was here. All right, Rick, before we get you out of here, we got a pretty big one on Thursday. Minnesota Vikings and Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers coming off a massive win. There's a lot of talk in the media about maybe it's Zimmer's time to step down. You know what I mean? They need to shake things up in Minnesota. You know, I don't know. I'm not ready for that debate right now, but I do think Minnesota win this game. Pittsburgh dug down deep at home. They beat Baltimore. I don't know if they're going to be able to win two games in a row here on the road. And what do you make of Ben talking about, reports talking about this being it for Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin said, you know, he kind of chuckled at the fact that this was news. Anybody who's watched Big Ben, I mean, when he's playing football, softball, I don't know, he's lobbing the ball out there. It's like, you know, the velocity has kind of lost some miles per hour. So it's not a surprise. However, I do think the team kind of rallied around that cry a little bit this week. They pulled one out. Yeah. I thought the Ravens would rock them, and that was a surprising victory to me. So, to your point, you know, did they run some too much gas out of the tank? Possibly, but man, I'll tell you what, the Vikings, I can't pinpoint this team. I pick the Vikings, they lose. I pick them to lose. I can't put my finger on the pulse.
That's me with the Niners, bro. That's me with the odds. Oh, so like frustrating.
We gotta give credit where credit is due. And Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record, and so for that reason alone, I'm gonna roll with the Steelers.
Roll with the Steelers. Just trust in the pedigree. Yeah, Minnesota just find a way to like. It's just, you know, they are who we thought they were. That's the type of deal with the Minnesota Vikings.
And I love Alexander Mattison. I think he's one of the best backup running backs in the league, but he's not Dalvin Cook, right? And it is a downgrade. So I just don't know, you know, if they just kind of drop some guys back and let Minnesota run the ball, I think the Steelers can keep it a low-scoring, close game. And just the Steelers are that team. They just try to keep it close. And then at the end, they're like Muhammad Ali, rope-a-dope. They just come out at the end and just pull it out, right?
Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, SI.com. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Appreciate you, Gabriel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man. What?
Thanks, Mean Gene.
the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us. Can't wait for the NFL draft. Start breaking down some draft props. We kill that stuff every year. We're very good at the drafts. We're better at the drafts than we are picking Buffalo Bill games. I'll tell you that. Damn Bills. Frustrating. Yeah, it's a miracle, actually. It's one of those really frustrating games. I murdered the props. You know what I mean? I put more money on these props than I normally do tonight, and they all hit, man. Look, we gave you Damian Harris over 48.5 rush yards. He got it on that one play. Right before the game started, we're on the air. I said, come on, man, Damian Harris is plus 200 to score a touchdown, man. So, boom, we hit the over 48.5 on one play. I went big on that. We hit the touchdown. I went pretty nice on that, but it was a nice plus 200 play. We hammered the Josh Allen over 35.5 rushing yards. He got to 39. We hit total rushing attempts in the game at 57.5. I don't even know how many there were. I gave up counting after 59, like early in the third quarter type of thing. The Patriots ran the ball so many times on their own, it went over, right? We had the under in the game. So all that to say, I was like, wow, we like crushed it. And I still ended up losing like $500. A little less. I think I lost like $440 or something, and I won a lot of bets. So it's kind of really frustrating. Oh, yeah, I even teased the Bills. So I had the Bills plus 4 to the unders as well. So I hit that. It was sort of split, but I still got the money back and some. But it was one of those deals, like, and I don't do the woulda, coulda, shoulda, or what if the game very much, because it is what it is. You'll drive yourself crazy like that if you bet every day, right? Oh, I could have done that. I should have done this. No, but guys, if you think about it, I already had a lot on the Bills. I don't even want to know. Like, it's one of those deals, I don't know. Like, if you ask me how much I had on the Bills right now, I don't know. Like, not $50, I'll tell you that. Not 200. 400? No, it wasn't 400. Was it 7? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't want to know. Like, basically, I sort of, like, glanced, and I'm like, oh, my God. I just saw a play that had Bills plus 3.5. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I took the Bills plus 3.5 early when they were losing 7-0, too, for another 200. And they lose by 4, right? It was one of those. And then I started remembering. I'm like, so you're telling me I had the Kansas City Chief parlay. I had that. I put the money line in game another time once. There was that other time that I put another 350. I started thinking about all the times, like, in game that I sort of clicked. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I still only ended up losing like $400. So in other words, if the Buffalo Bills would not have choked numerous times, all right? Like Linda Lovelace choked like less than this. If they didn't choke as much as they did late like this, like late, like, you know, late in the game and in the red zone, like just constantly, like twice in the last 6 minutes of the game, they were inside the 15-yard line, essentially, last 7 minutes. And both times, if they would have scored once, it really would have been a massive night tonight. That's what I'm getting at here. I would have been like, oh, God. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, so you're telling me? Because I was a little bit worried, actually. I was like, are you kidding me? Am I giving my Michigan money back? I've been riding Michigan. I got Michigan at 50-1. I'm hitting them on all these games. I'm like, did I just give all this Michigan money back? And then after I saw the account, I was like, wow, that's pretty freaking good, actually. I was like, man, that's pretty good. And then I started to realize, so you're telling me if the Bills were to win, I would have, like, I'd be up like $2,700 or something, whatever the hell it would be right now. It's like, ah, nothing like getting done in by your own team, too. Which, now the Buffalo Bills get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks are only laying 3, too. I don't understand this number. But it's pretty clear. I don't understand the NFL, right? So, right, like, who does? Right? I mean, who does? Look, the Bengals are up. They're down. The Chargers suck. They beat the Bengals. Like, now the Bills are, you know. Can the Bills go in here and beat the Buccaneers? I don't have a lot of confidence in telling you that. And as far as the MVP is concerned right now, Josh Allen is plus 900 to be the MVP. So I don't know if they do this just because people are stupid and people bet, or like Like, what, MVP of what? Josh Allen's not even like the MVP right now of the division, let alone of the league. Like, I don't really know the number here. So Tom Brady's the favorite now to win the MVP. And the media doesn't like giving Tom Brady season awards because the guy already has everything, right? He wins all the time. He's rich. He's married to a supermodel. So they're like, nah, we're going to give the MVP to someone else. It's kind of hard to argue against Brady, yet you got Aaron Rodgers at plus 550 right there. So Tom Brady's plus 150. Aaron Rodgers is plus 550. And if you look, I mean, look how good the Green Bay Packers are. They lost without him, right? I think, though, the fact that Aaron Rodgers and all of his weird-ass interviews that he does every week on our station with Pat McAfee, and I'm glad that he does because they're entertaining. But I think all, like, the stuff and everything that's happened, I'm not really sure the media would vote for him. And you got Kyler Murray at 7-1, who I gave you guys at 23-1 before the year started. I gave two guys, Josh Allen 13-1, Kyler Murray, that was 24-1. And Kyler Murray's now 7-1, but I wonder about Kyler Murray missing three games. Is that enough to discount him? Which it might be, actually, in the voters' minds. Mahomes isn't putting up the numbers. Even though the Chiefs are a dangerous team and they're winning, he's like a 10-1 now. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are fading a little bit. So I think this really is a three-man race right now. Tom Brady. So the question, if you're betting on this stuff, the question you ask yourself is, if you don't believe it's Tom Brady, then it's Aaron Rodgers at plus 550 or Kyler Murray at 7-1? Because I don't think it's going to be, it ain't Matt Stafford at 14-1. It ain't Josh Allen. Josh Allen MVP. They might not even make the freaking playoffs now at this rate. Like, that'll be a disgrace and embarrassment, man. Like, dear God, Buffalo. Like, don't you guys get tired of disappointing everybody? Seriously. Don't you get tired of, like, underachieving? Like, at some point, you know what I mean? Like, no. It's like we need, like, an intervention. Like, let's send the crew from A&E into that locker room and, like, find what the hell's going on with you people. And it's just, it's execution. Execution. They don't execute, right? It's not like a million things are wrong. It's like a bunch of little things. And those little things add up to, well, we're down by four instead of one right now. You know, there was the missed field goal, and I'm not going to harp on that. It is what it is. You know, it was windy as hell. Okay, fine. But don't forget about, like, the series before, or a couple of series before, when Josh Allen, there was a questionable, I know some people didn't like it or whatever. He was out of bounds, whether you liked it or not, right? He was out of bounds. So the Bills got an extra 15 yards put onto it. That was another instance where they kicked the field goal, right? They had the nice touchdown to Gabriel Davis early. And then after, and when, at that point too, New England had 11 points. Think about the dynamic of how that game changes. Right? So it's not just the Bills choking late in the fourth quarter two times inside the red zone. It's what about in the third quarter when you had momentum, you move the ball down the field, the refs give you a little bit of a push and a little, hey, here you go. Right? Like a parent with the training wheels and a buck here, you know what I mean? Here you go. Little push with the extra 15 yards and you settle for the field goal. And what happens then? I tweeted about it at the time. I said, you know how big and disappointing that is? Because then if you make it 11-10, you're losing 11-10. Then if New England kicks a field goal, you need a touchdown after, which is exactly what happened. Not to mention because you missed a field goal again after. But that's on the offense again. That's on the offense again. Like, how many times were the Bills in the red zone that they came up empty or with 3 points? And it's a pattern. Right, the same thing happened against the Tennessee Titans. Same thing happened against the Tennessee Titans. The NFL, man, it'll drive you crazy this league, man. So next up is Thursday. It's actually like exhale time now a little bit because it's been so much college football every day. It's like some big game, all the rankings, and there's always this and that. Now it's sort of like, all right, sort of exhale time. We got the Army-Navy game this week, bowl season. It's the calm before the storm for the college football playoffs. As we mentioned, bowl season begins not this Friday, but next Friday. Toledo and Middle Tennessee State. Taking a look at some of the early numbers here right now. Toledo are minus 10 in this game. The total is 54.5. The Bahamas Bowl is generally a pretty high-scoring bowl game. Like, they design it. They want it to be a high-scoring game. Right? They want it to be. Like, certain bowl games are designed, like the Holiday Bowl, like the Alamo Bowl. There's certain bowl games that they want certain type of teams. Coastal Carolina and Northern Illinois, NIU. Coastal Carolina, minus 10 against Northern Illinois. Total 64. App State, minus 3 against the Hilltoppers. Total 68.5. UTEP and Fresno State. Fresno State, minus 10.5. 49.5. UAB and BYU. BYU, minus 7. Total 56. BYU are generally a good bowl team. Those kids get up for this stuff. Well, kids, they're like 32 years old. Liberty, minus 8.5 in Eastern Michigan, 58.5. Should be a million points in that game. The Beavers are minus 7.5 against Utah State, total 66. Marshall and Lafayette, Tulsa and Old Dominion. Oh, boy. Tulsa and Old, which bowl game is that? Tulsa and Old Dominion. Listen, I'm all for bowl games, but when Tulsa are playing Old Dominion, man, like, we've got a, really? Which bowl game is Tulsa? I got to see this one. Hey, Matias, you're Hawaii. Memphis versus Hawaii. You fired up for this? It's the Clarence T.C. Ching Complex Easy Post Hawaii Bowl.
That's funny. The Clarence T.C. Ching Hall. I'm finally got a big name. But no, Gabe, Memphis is going to smoke them. I would not go with Hawaii. That team right
are
now.
Are they allowing fans at least?
Dumpster fire.
You can't have a bowl game without fans. Are you allowing fans at least? There's been no fans allowed at the games in Hawaii.
Even if there were fans, Gabe, nobody's supporting that program right now. They want to fire Todd Graham very badly. It's pretty bad over there right now.
Well, I don't know if you think you're going to get a better coach than him. Keep dreaming. Like, who do they think they're going to replace him with? Like, Nick Saban? Ed Orgeron? Maybe Ed will take. There's a lot of hot chicks there, right? Maybe Ed will come to Hawaii.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network.
The late night anger management class.
From the ashes.
3 minute warning. You know what? We're glad actually there is the Hawaii Bowl is back though. Friday, December the 24th, so Christmas Eve, and there's actually a bowl game on Christmas Day as well, the Camellia Bowl, in which we got Ball State and Georgia State. Ball State, Georgia State. As it is right now, the as for like bowl matchups that like jumped off the screen at me, where I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm just buying in to the new coach at Notre Dame, and I'm also buying in that Notre Dame are better than Oklahoma State are as well, and this is a great situation. I think it's a great matchup for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I like Notre Dame a lot. So what we need to do. What we need to do is sort of, you know, reset here as far as football is concerned. All right, college football, it's exhale time. Let's let the idiots keep on betting on Georgia and bet that number up, and we'll cash again with the Michigan Wolverines. We'll get into, and thanks to Eli Gold, Alabama play-by-play guy, for joining us tonight. We'll break down that game, of course. We'll, you know, throw out the next couple of weeks, but let's see where the line moves start to go. Yet, FanDuel and other books still have like NFL season win totals up. So I think that's our new project right now, right? I mean, that's the great thing, at least now, but the modern era, like the new options. So you got to take advantage of the new unorthodox options that they have. So that's, you know, that's what I'm going to do. You know, we've murdered it. Like, we're sitting on a lot of winners, man. They're going to be coming in here for if the NFL season win totals. I got the Houston Texans under 5.5 wins, guys. I got the Jets under 6.5. Broncos under 8.5. Packers to win the division. Like, you know, we're racking up the wins there. Except I want more. I want more. And there's season win totals still on the board right now. So that's going to be my project. I'm going to go over the schedules. I'm going to go over the win totals. We're going to come up with a couple of more win totals and smash this on the way out again. That's where the real money is. Not on this up and down stress job stuff every night. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Come on.
Admit it.
You do your own play-by-play in your head when you play horse.
Don't you? You do you, bro.
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.